our next guest will be joining me now, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in our property market, and I have her right on the line as we speak. And is the lovely Wendy Chamberlain, of course, from Chamberlain Property Advocates, and Wendy is the principal. She is a best-selling author as well, and speaker, and she is a number of many talents, and we're going to talk about that. Also, she's a property mama, and also Get Started Property Program. Gee, she's certainly got a lot of things happening here, but we've got her right on the line now. Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Good afternoon, Vilma. I am very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Nice to hear that chirpy voice.
Hey. I was going on the call again with you.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. I was just about to say to you, do you actually do the auctions yourself at any stage?
No, I'm not an auctioneer. No. But I love playing with the auctioneers and buying properties from them.
Yes, good on you. Because I was going to say that your voice would be not too flashy every Saturday or whenever we do the auctions. Yeah.
It would be good fun because it actually is good theatre, but I think you have to have a bit of practice to do it really well.
Yes, yes. The only part I know is going once, going twice, look around, no one's looking, go, oh, sorry, I was just blowing my nose. No, okay, gone, sold. And that's how it goes. So anyway, let's have a chat about the auction clearance rate and how is it faring out at the moment?
The auction clearance rates have been sitting around the early 60s in the last few weeks. So last week was 61%, and we can just go on with 61%. The week before that was 62%. Now, we obviously have just come off the back of Easter as well. So an auction clearance rate around about the 60 is a balanced market, not tipping one way or the other. So what we say is 50s is a buyer's market and up to the 70s, 80s is a seller's market. So it's pretty evenly balanced at the moment.
Excellent. Now, I'm just market updates. Tell us a little bit how the market's faring at the moment. And I know, doing a prediction is always difficult, but I can certainly feel there's a lot of unease at the moment, a lot of uncertainty. So you're the expert. How's the market at the moment?
I think you've nailed it there with that description, Vilma, because there is a lot of uncertainty at the moment, generally, particularly with the cost of living at the moment for people. And that will, to some degree, be reflected in what people are choosing to do when it comes to buying or selling a home. So in relation to prices, nationally, Australia-wide, they have risen for the last 14 straight months. And interestingly, for Melbourne, for March, we have zero growth and we're down 0.2% for the quarter. But over the past 12 months, we're up 3.2%. So in speaking to real estate agents, we seem to have this burst coming out of the Christmas New Year period up until leading into Easter, but things seem to have come off a little bit in relation to activity and listings and so forth. So I'd be interested to see how that plays out over the next 12 months, because add into the mix here is that the interest rates are on hold for the moment, and I think that is a factor that people are definitely considering when they're looking at what they're going to do moving forward with real estate.
Yes, absolutely, and you're right. So now the new government taxes and the COVID debit repayment plan, which we never seem to stop hearing about, and land changes, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Vilma, the COVID debt temporary surcharge, temporary for the next 10 years, is also known as the increases in the land tax that we as property investor owners are experiencing as of the 1st of January, so about, 3.5 months ago. They are having a massive effect on people that own real estate that as an investment. What they're seeing is that they are really assessing what is the viability of retaining this as a form of investment, as an asset that they want to look at for their investment vehicle. And we definitely are seeing people selling properties because with any type of asset that you buy to make an income from, it doesn't matter if it's shares, real estate, whatever it is, you're doing it to invest to bring in some kind of return. Now, we have for a very long time in Australia have had negative gearing, which dovetails into people being able to buy properties to rent out as a property investor or a landlord or rental provider, whatever you want to call them, because they get a tax break through that negative gearing. So negative gearing means that the income on the property is less than what it costs or the expenses to hold that property, and they can get a tax deduction on some of those expenses, and then that makes it viable for whatever the personal circumstances are for that investor to still hold or retain that property, that asset. Now, what we're seeing, though, is with this, the imposition of this land tax, which is on, it's not your principal place of residence, it's not your home that you might own or be paying off with a mortgage, is we're seeing people that have a second, third, how many it is, with an, as an investment, the cost of that as a return has diminished. But additionally to that, it's becoming unviable for a lot of people to even retain the properties when you dovetail in everything else that's happening at the moment with the cost of living, insurance, gas, electricity, food prices. And then they've got to try and hold this property. And many people are selling up because it's become too hard for them.
Absolutely. And you're not wrong there. I went shopping the other day and, oh, geez. it is getting expensive.
Everybody I talk to is saying how much food costs. And they'll say, oh, I went and I spent $50 and I didn't walk away with much at all.
Same, same.
And so when you look at this, this is just an additional tax, an additional cost that has been imposed on property owners, in addition to a bunch of other things that have been added to the list over the last few years. People are really looking at it going, is this something that is in my best interest to keep holding this property, or do I need to get rid of it? Do I need to sell it? And we are seeing much more of that, and that is leading and dovetails into what is going on in the rental market.
Well, there you go. You couldn't have said it any better, I don't think. It's just, yes, it's just becoming a little bit out there at the moment with what is happening. Yeah, and that's probably why people are starting to hold back a little bit. So I was going to ask you, now, increased land tax for investors, that's putting a lot of pressure on the landlords, isn't it?
That's the pressure on the landlords, which I don't know if people realise. If you're a renter, you might go, well, that's a tax that's being applied to the landlord. That's their problem. They need to deal with that. They decided to buy a property. That's up to them to sort that out. And, yes, that is absolutely correct. However, if you're thinking that and thinking it's not affecting you, well, you've got it very, very wrong, because what is happening is when these properties are getting sold, oftentimes they're being purchased by a home buyer. And I know this because we're buying those homes for our first home buyer clients particularly. And so what that means is it takes a rental property out of the pool, which means there are fewer rental properties available for renting. Now, the government have clearly shown they don't have the resources, wherewithal, whatever you want to say, to provide enough housing for the people that need the housing, be that public housing, social housing, whatever we want to call it. So they have, through negative gearing and other strategies, your mum and dad investors have become like a pseudo social housing provider in some way. Now, like any person that's investing, you want some kind of return. But as I've said just earlier, when that is no longer viable for the person that owns that asset, they make changes, they do something about it. They might even have to increase the prices, and we're seeing that. We're seeing rents really starting to kick in and be very, very expensive. But we're also seeing not enough houses available for rent for the people that need to be renting these houses. You see these lines down the street. So it is actually exacerbating the rental crisis, and you can blame the government for that.
Well, let me say this. There's two ways you can look at this. Now, I might be jumping out of the box a little bit too premature here, but if you're finding that the rental has gone up in your properties where people are trying to rent, wouldn't that encourage people to go out and maybe buy? I mean, because is your residential home having to pay land tax as well if you were to purchase?
No, so the home that you're living in does not incur any land tax. But where you buy an investment, that does incur the land tax. And what they did, the changes, because not only has they increased the land tax, because they did that, they changed the rules, i.e. they changed the threshold as to when it kicks in. So land tax is only applied to the land, not the capital improved fee, so not not the structure on the land. But what they did is they dropped the threshold from 300,000 that you start paying it to 50,000. Now that's a big drop. So what's going to have happened is it's going to have scooped in lots of people who owned 1 and 2 bedroom apartments, as an example, which may not have occurred any land tax prior to that. But it is, with the rents going up, there is a better yield being achieved by an investor that is renting out their property. However, it's not just a singularity that you look at when it comes to investing in real estate. There's many, many moving parts and costs that you have to look at. And so that's just one of them. So where it's not being feasible anymore for somebody to own a property where it was, let's go back to negative gearing. Now, most properties that are purchased by someone that's investing in real estate are negatively geared, which means that every single month when the bank comes calling to for you to pay your mortgage, they're dipping into their own pockets to pay, to keep, to even just hold that property. Add to the mix the cost of food, cost of living, petrol, everything we've discussed, which means there's less money available to do that. That is why people are reassessing what they want to do moving forward. I spoke to someone yesterday who is looking to sell 4 properties, all investment properties.
Gee, well, yes. Well, yeah, having 4. But let me ask you this. If you're a first-time renter and you're finding it difficult to get into these properties, I'm just saying now, this is a good opportunity for people to actually purchase a property instead of paying $400, $500, because the rents are going up quite a lot. You might find that now people are saying, well, you know, $400, $500, $600 a week, I might as well go and see if I can take out a loan and buy a home.
Absolutely, Vilma. And rents have surged over the past 2 years in Melbourne, 21.1%.
Shocking.
Over the last 2 years. So if you're in a position where you are renting and it's going up and you're going, goodness, what am I going to do here?
Yes.
Have a look at your position, and are you actually able to buy a property?
Yes.
Because as you've just indicated there, Vilma, sometimes it actually is better for you, for your circumstances, which you'll need to assess yourself. But if you can secure a property to live in, then you're not paying any land tax on your home that you're living in, and you're no longer having to pay rent to somebody else. You're actually investing in your own home and building up that equity in your own home.
Yeah.
And certainly that is something we're helping first-time buyers with.
Excellent.
All the time at the moment, because they've never done it before. I say smart people just never done it before, and we stand with them hold their hand down by their side to help them to do that.
Mm.
So that definitely is something people listening today should be considering. Can I get out of the rental rat race and buy my own home?
Yes, and look into that, I would certainly. Now, as we've mentioned, Victoria is one of the most taxed states when it comes to real estate, and also this COVID-19 debit temporary surge charge introduced in the 1st of January in 2024 brought in with major changes to land taxes. And as we have just mentioned, it is causing a rental crisis, but hopefully we might be able to say to people, we'll go and see if you can get a loan and buy a house, and then that means that there's more houses up for sale. But in saying that, the RBA and interest rates were headed this year. So tell us a bit about the RBA and interest rates, and where are they headed this year with all of this
Yes, craziness. I think it's something, something, Vilma, that people really keep a close eye on is what is the RBA doing? What are they doing with interest rates? And so what people are suggesting is that they are currently on hold and will stay on hold for the next few months. Now, I attended an industry briefing for one of the banks, one of the big four banks, a few weeks ago where they had their economist sharing what they feel is going to be going on. And he said that he feels that rates are going to drop in September is what that they're saying. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, let's touch base in September and see if that's actually happened.
I'm sure we will.
It's more positive than them saying it's going to go up. However, as we know, they throw in all kinds of things into their decision-making, inflation and unemployment rates and all the things. So the word on the street right now is that interest rates will stay as they are and then start to drop.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really talking about them going up. So I think that will incentivize people to start coming back into the market. And I think prices, if that does happen, I think prices will start to rise again.
Yes. And, well, let's hope your thoughts on this and what is predicted will happen. So it is very important. Now, also, too, as we've mentioned, the new government rules, like the land tax, cannot do anything as far as a portion of the cost of when you're selling, and the windfall gains of taxes cannot be passed into the purchaser. But let me ask you this. We've seen a lot of increase in the cost of owning an investment property. So what are some of those increases and also and tell us a little bit more about that?
So land tax, as we've discussed, but what the government introduced a couple of years ago now, not only last year, actually, no, you had to have it done by the 30th or the 24th or something of March last year, was that you have to get every other year gas and electricity checks done on your investment property. So you have to get both done initially, and then it alternates every other year. So that's another expense. That's usually around about $600. Initially, and then it's maybe $300-$400 every other alternative
year. Yeah, sorry, can I ask you, is that just come into play, the electricity and the gas checks?
Yes, as of last year, yes.
And what are the cost of those?
Yes, so the initial cost is $600, around about $600.
Oh.
And then it's usually around $300 or $400 every other year. So you've got to alternate. You do 1 year you do gas, 1 year you do electricity.
Oh,
but they come in and they have a look at things, and I think I've shared previously, one of the properties that we purchased was an older home. It was perfectly sound and safe, and everything was working. But because the electricity meter was older, again, it was safe, it was working, there was nothing wrong with it, they said that it had to get replaced. So that cost $2,200.
Oh, my God. They're really trying to find ways, aren't they?
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with it. It was working perfectly, perfectly safe. Well, so that's just one example. That's a personal example of things, of the cost, the ongoing cost that a property owner is incurring where they are renting it out. So we love our renters. We look after our renters when we are a property investor. But it's becoming untenable for some people with the amount of costs
of course.
Are being incurred. It's one thing after another.
I mean, I've been living in my property for years and years, and I'm sure a lot of people have, and I don't think they've ever come across these situations where you're buying a new property or get your property checked, or you've got a rental property that needs the gas and electricity, you know, every year to be checked. I mean, in one way, I reckon it's fantastic, but it's also a money spinner as well, isn't it?
Well, it is, because you can ask the question, if this is for the safety of residents of Melbourne and Victoria, why is this kind of thing not applied for people that own their own home and live in their own home?
Yes, exactly. There. No, you've said it. You've said it yourself here on 98.9 Northwest FM. So you've said it. Now, are property investors handling this uptick in costs of owning a property? I don't think they are. I think they're overwhelmed. But as I said, you tell us.
I agree with you, Vilma. I think people are definitely assessing their situation in light of the cost of living crisis that we're hearing about all the time at the moment, because if it's not viable, or they need to, let's say, batten down the hatches and be conserving their cash, or be more discerning about where they might be putting their money. You talk about disposable income, that kind of thing. If there's not enough money spare at the end of each month to be paying a mortgage on an investment that's no longer performing for them, and that's an individual decision for that person, well, then it can make sense for them to sell it. And as I said, that then oftentimes takes a rental house out of the pool. And then the government at the start of the year also legislated that you can't apportion the land tax bill, as you said earlier on the show today, which means that if you've incurred a land tax bill and you need to sell the property because you can't afford the land tax bill, it's too bad because you're still paying it, whereas previously you could apportion it. So it's just things like that. And then additionally, a number of years ago, there was there was over 100 changes to the Tenancy Act, like for renters and rental providers, in relation to what a renter can do in a property. That includes things like they can hang hooks wherever they want, they can paint the walls whatever colour they want, all these kind of things. However, oftentimes those things are not repaired when that person moves on to other things. And it is then the cost is put onto the rental provider, onto that homeowner, to get things back to how they were. So that's just another additional cost that people don't even probably think about.
Well, in saying that, there are a lot of people that are renting, I'm sure there is, and can't afford that rent. Well, they can, but they go into it. But to make life easy, they get other people sharing rooms.
Yes, and the cost of sharing a room, I've heard, is absolutely ridiculous now. I've heard it's like $250, $300, $350 for a room.
For a room. And sometimes that might include utilities and Wi-Fi, or sometimes it may not. So a lot of people now are getting into rental properties, but to help them with their daily living and weekly survival, they are getting people to get into shared accommodation.
That's right. So it's become quite a tricky situation for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're the homeowner providing a rental accommodation, or you're the renter looking for somewhere to call your home. It has become crazy and expensive and stressful for everybody.
Oh, definitely. And, if people are renting up to $600 or $400 or $450 a week, that's money. I mean, that's still a wage for some people. And if they have, if they got a shared, if they have to share and get someone in, well, what do you do? Because that's the society, and that's the predicament that we're in at the moment. But in saying all of that, tell us about, because we won't have much time now, because I've got my next guest coming shortly, but I'm curious about the new program, Property Mama. I've seen it on a few occasions, and I must admit I thoroughly enjoy it. And as you say, it is the adventures in real estate. So give us a quick thumbs up on that one.
I am having so much fun sharing my adventures, Norma. I've been buying and selling real estate for 28 years, and I have seen my fair share of shenanigans. And one time, one of my beautiful first-time buying clients called me their property mama. That's how that came about. So I'm there to support and shield and guide my beautiful clients as their property mama. And I wanted to share the stories to the wider audience. So at 1 p.m. every Wednesday across all of our social channels, I share Property Mama Adventures in Real Estate. And tune in if you want to have a bit of a laugh and go, wow.
Yes, and I'm sure you'd have a lot of stories. But if I had a bit more time, we could go into that. But perhaps next time we can have a chat about that. But if you want to get involved with Wendy, you can actually go go to the website and have it and sort of get more involved, because you can get started in a property program, which is a great program, and learning all the facets of property, and especially if you're selling and buying. And so the website, the best way for that one is Wendy at ChamberlainAdvocates.com.
Yes, ChamberlainAdvocates.com.au.
Yep.
Yes.
And this would be a great way, and you actually can get started in a property program, and she'll guide you through it, because I think now so many things are changing, and it is so important that you're fully aware and don't be naive when you're entering something that is a cost that, that was probably the biggest cost you'll ever make, an expense in a lifetime. So it is important to have your wits about you, always do your homework, get the knowledge, and then you're able to, obviously, by the end of the time, you'll know how to get the best price and what to look out for. So important. Well, I'll have to sign off with you now, Wendy. It was an enjoyable afternoon with you. And don't forget, you can go to the website, which is Wendy at ChamberlainAdvocates.com.au, if you want to have a chat or whatever the case may be. You can email Wendy, and she'll be able to guide you through. And if anyone knows about real estate, it's definitely Wendy Chamberlain. Well, Wendy, you have a great afternoon, and we'll talk very, very soon.
Thanks, Thelma. We always have fun.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a great afternoon. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.